Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to the book of John, chapter number 11. John, chapter 11. Again, great, great messages and the songs this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Kids choir, Jesus lives. Out of the grave, resurrection power. I serve a risen Savior. And these are great, great songs with great truth about what our day is about today, celebrating Easter and the resurrection of Christ. A few weeks ago, we began a series that we're going through on Sunday mornings in the book of John. We're looking at the seven I ams of Christ. There are seven times through the book of John that Jesus says, I am, and then he says something. He says, I am. He says, I am the bread of life. We saw that last week. We saw where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And we looked at that, and very appropriate that as we're going through this, we are in Easter. Our Easter service is today in John chapter 11, and we'll be looking this morning where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse number 20. John chapter 11, verse number 20. The Bible says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Some people may be familiar with this passage of Scripture where we have a family, some siblings in the town called Bethany. And there were three siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And whenever Jesus was near Jerusalem, it seemed like he ended up in Bethany, in the house of this family here. And Jesus had a close relationship with them. He loved this family very much. And they helped him whenever he was there. He had a place to stay and food to eat. And so this was a very dear family to him. But as we think about this story here, this really is a tragic story when you look at it through men's eyes. Here are two sisters, Mary and Martha, who had a brother that they loved, and he got sick. Of course, when anyone in our family or friends or whatever, when they get sick, of course, we care about them and we want them to get better. We do what we can. But their brother got sick. His sickness wasn't getting any better. His sickness was continually getting worse. And so they send someone to find Jesus. They know that Jesus can heal their brother. He could heal him from the sickness. So they send someone to find Jesus, and their hope, their desire, is that Jesus would come and heal their brother of his sickness. They know that Jesus loves them, and that if they heard that Lazarus was sick, that Jesus would come and heal them. So they send someone to find Jesus, and they wait. And they wait, expecting, anticipating for Jesus to come. But Jesus doesn't come. They wait. The one that they sent to find Jesus returns. They ask him, what's going on? You didn't bring Jesus with you? No, I didn't. He didn't come. Well, did you tell him that Lazarus was sick? Yes, I told him Lazarus was sick. Well, is he coming? I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Didn't you tell him that Lazarus was sick? I mean, if you go back up in verse number 3, it says his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I mean, didn't you tell him that Lazarus is sick and he's not getting any better? Yeah, I told him. And they wait. And still no Jesus. And they wait, and Lazarus gets sick, and he's getting sicker, and he's getting to the point where it looks like he's almost going to die. And they're waiting, they're hoping, they're looking for Jesus to come. And still no Jesus. And then he dies. Lazarus takes the last breath and dies. And still no Jesus. They take the body and they get ready to bury him. They put him in the grave. They have a funeral for him. And still, no Jesus. Can you imagine maybe what Mary and Martha are feeling? Why didn't Jesus come? Doesn't he care about us? Why didn't he come? And then, 4 days after they've buried their brother Lazarus, as Mary and Martha are sitting in their house, they're weeping and they're mourning their brother, someone comes, they said, hey, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We heard that he's coming. He's coming to Bethany. Jesus is coming. But it's too late. It's too late. Lazarus is already dead. And so Martha gets up and Martha runs out to meet him. And notice what happens here. And again, I think we can all understand why Martha would run out when she heard that Jesus was coming. Because in verse number 21, as we see these words bursting from her heart with a broken heart, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if you would have come. If you would have come when we asked you to come. If you would have come when Lazarus was sick, he wouldn't have died. We know that you could heal him. You've healed other people. We know you would have been able to heal them. Lord, what's going on? If you would have come, our brother would not have died. It's very obvious that Mary and Martha had probably been talking about this, because if you jump down to verse number 32, Mary comes and basically says the exact same thing that Martha said. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Can you feel the emotion? This was their brother. They loved their brother. They thought Jesus loved their brother. They thought Jesus loved them. But where were you, Lord? You ever felt like that sometimes? You're going through something and you're like, Lord, I thought you cared about me. Lord, I asked you to do this for me and you didn't do it. And Mary and Martha, they have this emotion and this heartbreak, and they're saying, Lord, if you would have just been here. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So often we want God to work on our timetable when God is simply asking us to trust him, that he not only knows what is best for us, but when is best for us as well. You know, a lot of times we say, well, yeah, we think God knows what's best for us, right? And I think every Christian knows the Lord would probably say, yes, I think God knows what's best for us. Then, if that is true, why do we respond like Mary and Martha? Because I know every one of us have responded like Mary and Martha. Every one of us have asked God to do something, and God didn't do it what we wanted or when we wanted, and so what did we say? What's up, God? I mean, come on, God, I asked you to do this. Don't you love me? Don't you care about me? Don't you care what goes on in my life? Don't you care about my family? Lord, if you would have done this when I asked you to, everything would have worked out fine. Can you see what they're saying? Lord, if you would have done it when we asked you to, our brother had not have died. If you'd have done it when we wanted you to do it, everything would have been fine. But can I tell you this morning that never is what we want and when we want it ever better than what God wants and when God wants it for us. Never. We might think we know what is best for us. We might think we know when it is best for us, but we really don't know. It's only God that knows. But yet sometimes we feel just like Mary and Martha. So Jesus, as Martha says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus says in verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha, Lazarus will rise again. Lazarus will be resurrected. And she responds, I know that, Lord. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Lord, I know that. I know he's going to resurrect. I know at the last day, when the world comes to an end, I know that he's going to be resurrected. I know that. The Jews believed in a resurrection. Now, there was a certain sect of a Jew of the Jews called the Sadducees that did not believe in a resurrection. But most of the Jews believed in a resurrection. They believed exactly what God had said in his word, that there would be a resurrection and that they would be able to live with God for all of eternity. And so Martha believes that there's going to be a resurrection. She says, I know that in the last day, there's going to be a resurrection. But watch what Jesus does. Martha is looking to the future. Martha says, I know in the future, Lazarus will rise again. It's interesting, her friends, when we go back down to verse number 37, some of them, the friends that were with them, said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? So Martha's looking into the future. Those friends that are with them to comfort them and things through the mourning process, they're looking in the past. They're saying, well, you know, he healed other people. He healed blind people and he healed lepers. If he would have come, they would have been able to, he would have been able to heal this man too, and he wouldn't have to die. So you have Martha looking in the future, her friends looking in the past, but watch what Jesus does. Jesus moves the doctrine of the resurrection out of the future and into the present. And sometimes we get this idea the same way that Martha does. We know that there's going to be a resurrection. But watch, Jesus moves it into the present. Jesus says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, no, you don't understand, Martha. You see, Martha was looking at the resurrection as a point in time, right? She's looking at the resurrection at a specific point in time, at the end days, at the last days. And what is Jesus trying to say? The resurrection is not a point in time. The resurrection is not a when. The resurrection is a who. I am the resurrection. She was looking at an event that was going to take place. Well, this event, this time that's going to happen at the last day. Jesus said, no, you don't understand, Martha. I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not an event. It's not a time period that's going to take place. It is a person. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Now, how could he claim this? How could Jesus claim to be the resurrection if he is not yet resurrected? I mean, we would think, okay, after the resurrection, then Jesus would be able to say, look, see what I resurrected, so I am the resurrection. But Jesus claims it before the resurrection. And I know, sometimes, you know, we come to Easter and we think the Easter service is going to be about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's what Easter's all about, right? But Jesus says, even before that takes place, I am the resurrection. How could he claim to be the resurrection if he hasn't resurrected yet? Well, think about this. How many times did Jesus say that he would resurrect? I mean, you go through and you look at all the different times that Jesus says. Remember when he's standing in the temple and he tell, you know, he's looking at the beauty of the temple and he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it again. Now, they thought he was talking about the beautiful temple building, but he said, I'm talking about this temple, this body. Destroy this temple, and in what? 3 days, I'll raise it again. They said, well, show us a sign. Give us some type of sign so that we know who you are. He says, I'll give you a sign. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth, 3 days and three nights. See, there's the resurrection again. There's the death, there's the burial, there's going to be a resurrection. Over and over, Jesus said, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and when we go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill me. But don't worry. Don't worry, because in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. Over and over and over, he tried to tell them. He tried to tell them that he was the resurrection. But did they believe him? Isn't it interesting that after he resurrected from the grave and he told the women, go and tell the disciples, where were the disciples? They were hiding. Why were they hiding? Because Jesus had just died. Were they at the tomb looking for Jesus to rise? No, they weren't at the tomb. They were hiding. The women that came, were they looking for the resurrection? No. They came that morning to anoint the body with these special ointments that they would anoint dead bodies with. No one was expecting the resurrection, even though time after time after time after time, Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I will rise from the dead. Nobody really believed him. So how could he claim to be the resurrection? Because he's God. The only one who has the power to raise life from the dead is God. And he's claiming, he's showing them that he is God. And then notice this, watch what he says. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But watch this, believest thou this? So he's standing there talking to Martha. Martha's complaining because Jesus didn't come and heal her brother. Jesus said, Martha, let me tell you something. I'm the resurrection and the life. And he explains what that means, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But he says, do you believe this? Believest thou this? Right? Now watch. Do you believe what Jesus is asking? Do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life? And what is her response? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, that's a very powerful statement. That's an important statement. She said, I believe that you're the Christ. That's a powerful, important statement. But is it the answer to the question that Jesus asked? No, it's not. Jesus said, do you believe that I'm the resurrection and the life? She said, I believe you're the Christ. It's not what he asked. Now, in this statement that she makes, there is a solid belief that Jesus is the Christ, right? There is this belief that what she says, I believe that thou art the Christ, it is what we would call, it's the perfect tense, right? In other words, it's indicating it is a fixed, it is a settled belief, a settled faith. But faith in what? Was it a faith in Christ as the resurrection? Her belief was that he was the Christ, the Son of God, but she did not believe that Jesus was the resurrection. Not in present form. She did not believe that Jesus was the resurrection and the life, as he had just said. You said, but she said, I believe that thou art the Christ. She said, I believe that you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Anointed One. But she did not say, I believe you're the resurrection and the life. In fact, if you go down a little bit farther in verse number 39, when Jesus says to take the stone away, what does Martha say? Jesus is getting ready to raise her brother back from the dead, and so he says, take the stone away. If she really believed that he was the resurrection, she would have been all for it. Go ahead, yeah, take the stone away. But watch what she says. No, don't do that. Lord, don't you understand? He's been dead for 4 days. He's been in the grave for 4 days, and by now he stinketh. In other words, decay has started. His body is starting to rot and decompose. Lord, I believe you're the Christ, but Lord, you don't have any power here. You see what she's saying? Lord, I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for. I believe you're the one that has been promised to bring physical deliverance. But the resurrection and the life? Lord, by this time he stinketh, because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus wanted her and those around to believe that he was the resurrection and the life. Why? Well, notice what he says in verse 25 when he explains this. When someone believes that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, two things happen. Two things. And that's what Jesus is trying to help them to understand. Notice, first of all, When a person believes that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, Jesus gives life to the dead. Did you see that in verse 25? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, please understand, in just a moment, he's going to raise a physical body from the dead. But that's not what he's talking about here when he says that he will give life to the dead. Who has the power to give life to the dead? God does. Think about it. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that God, of the dirt of the ground, he formed a man and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God created man. God gave life. God is the only one who has the power to raise someone from the grave. God is the only one who has the power to give life to that which is dead. It's only God. And Jesus is about to demonstrate that he is God. There was a reason that Jesus did not come and heal Lazarus when he was sick. There was a reason for it. Again, when you think about back in verse number 4, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Well, wait a minute, didn't Lazarus die? But Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death, but Lazarus died. So is Jesus a liar? Of course not. Jesus isn't a liar. So why would he say that? Because being God, he already knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus hasn't even died yet, but yet Jesus knows he's going to raise Lazarus back from the dead. He's God. That's why he says, this sickness is not unto death. But watch what else he says. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. God says, or Jesus says, the reason this is going to happen is so that God can be glorified. The reason this is going to happen is so that others can know who Jesus is. When we're going through life and God doesn't answer when we want or how we want, maybe we ought to ask God if he has another purpose in whatever it is we're going through. Maybe God is trying to do something greater in our lives so that he will receive the glory. Now, we know in just a moment, we're going to read that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, right? What did they want? They wanted Jesus to come and heal Lazarus when he was sick. Isn't that what they wanted? That's what they said. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Couldn't this man who has healed other people come and healed him so he wouldn't have died? So let me ask you a question. Which one is greater? Is it greater to be able to come to someone who is sick and to heal them from the sickness? Or is it greater to come to someone who's been dead for 4 days and raise them back to life? Which one's greater? It's a rhetorical question, okay? You don't even have to answer the question, right? I mean, the greater miracle is to raise someone from the dead that's been dead for 4 days. That's the greater miracle. And so what Jesus is saying is, and he's saying, look, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. So many times, what the things that we go through in life, we think it's about us. I'm going through this, and God doesn't care about me, and God doesn't love me, and so it's poor me because of what I'm going through. And yet God says the reason why I'm letting you go through this is because there's a purpose. I want to get the glory. Something great is going to be done. Sure, Jesus could have come. Jesus didn't even have to come. He could have just spoke the words, and Lazarus would have been healed. But they would have missed out on something far greater if Jesus would have done it when they wanted it. I wonder how many things we've missed out on that God has for us because we want it now instead of waiting for what God has for us. Think about this. Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. And this is, again, maybe God's trying to do something greater in our lives so that he will receive the glory. This power to give life was not just physical. It's spiritual. Again, think about it. Jesus is the only one who would be able to raise Lazarus from the dead physically. And in the same way, Jesus, as he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's the only one that is able to give life to a dead person. Spiritually. Life to a dead person. What does he say in verses 41 and 42? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may, what's the next word? Believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus said, the reason why this is happening is because I want people to be able to believe who I am. The reason why I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead is so that they will believe in who I am, that they will believe that I am the resurrection and the life. They will believe. What about verse number 15? Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Well, that's pretty callous, isn't it? I mean, we think that's kind of rude. Jesus says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad I wasn't there. What? Lord, why would you say that? Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad that we weren't there. Why? Well, look what he says. To the intent, ye may, what's that next word? Believe. The whole purpose of what Jesus is doing is trying to help people to believe. Believe what? To believe that he is the resurrection and the life. To believe that he is the only one who has power to give life to the dead. Think about this in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 in verse number 1 and 2 it says, and as Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, these believers, he says, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul says, when we are born, we are born dead spiritually. We are all dead spiritually. Yes, our heart is beating physically. Yes, we're breathing. There's no doubt about that, all right? I hope you're alive. Everybody here alive? Look at your neighbor and make sure they're alive, okay? We don't want anybody dying in here physically, all right? He says, I know you're alive physically. But he says, what's worse, though, is that you're dead spiritually. We're spiritually dead. We have this idea that death means a ceasing to exist. Right? Somebody died. They're just done. No. It's not what the word death means. The word death means a separation. When we say that we are dead spiritually, we're saying we are separated from God. When Adam and Eve were able to walk in the garden with God, and as they talked with God, God told, don't eat of the fruit of that tree. And when they did, they died. They were separated from God. And now every child that is born, every person that is born, we are born dead spiritually. We're born separated from God. That's why he says we were dead in trespasses and sins. Our sin is what separates us from God. That spiritual death has separated us from God. And so the only way we can be reunited with God or have that relationship with God again is somehow we have to be able to get life. So where do we get life? Well, religion says, well, if you join our church, you can have life. Religion says, if you get baptized, you can have life. Religion says, if you keep the Ten Commandments, then you'll have life. Religion says, if you're just a good person and you try to be good, then you'll have life. The problem is, Jesus didn't say that. Religion says those things, but Jesus didn't. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Just as Jesus was the only one who had the ability to say to Lazarus, come forth, and life came back into his body after he'd been dead for 4 days, Jesus is the only one to be able to say to someone who is spiritually dead, I can give you life. I can give you life. But it's only through Jesus Christ. It's not through a church. Look, I'm glad you're here this morning at First Baptist Church. And those of you that are visiting, man, we're so thankful that you came to be part of our services this morning. And we obviously want to welcome you back. But look, being part of First Baptist Church doesn't give you life. It gives you a great family, but it doesn't give you life. You, reading your Bible is great, but that doesn't give you life. Keeping the Ten Commandments is good. That's an important thing, but that doesn't give you life. There's only one who can give life. See, we're looking at life as an event or a set time or something. We're not looking at life as a who. The same thing that Martha did. Lord, I believe in the last day there'll be a resurrection. She said, Martha, you missed it. I am the resurrection. Oh, I you know, if I can go to church and if I can keep the Ten Commandments, if I can get baptized, then I can have life. You missed it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's why he says, when you were dead in trespasses and sins, and he goes down to verse number 4 in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Again, that life can only come through Jesus Christ because he is the resurrection and the life. He is able to give life to the dead. I remember when he gave me life. In September of 1999, I was in a little town called Powell, Tennessee, going to Bible college. And I realized that I was dead spiritually. Oh, I went to church. My parents were Christians. My dad was a preacher. I did all the right things. I was a good person. But the problem was I was dead. You realize that a dead person can't do anything good? That's why the Bible says there's none good. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Why? Because we're all dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And I remember that night, about 3:30 in the morning, when I recognized that Jesus was the only one who could give me life. It wasn't in a church. It wasn't in a baptism. It wasn't in Christian parents. But it was only in Jesus Christ. That night at 3:30 in the morning, or morning at 3:30, in a college dorm, I called out to the one who could give me life. And that night, Jesus Christ saved me. And he gave me life. I didn't deserve it. I was dead. A dead person doesn't deserve anything. But he loved me and he was willing to give me life. And this is what he says. Notice, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, it's not just in trying to be good, but it's only through Jesus Christ. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus Christ gives life to the dead. But may I say, secondly, not only when we believe in him does he give life to the dead, but when we believe in him, the living never die. The living never die. Look in verse number 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall, what are those next two words? Never die. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe Jesus is speaking truth here? Because he says if we believe in him and if we put our faith in Christ, he gives us life. He says that life will never die. He gives us life and he brings us back into a relationship with God, but he also gives us a life that never ends. It's what the Bible calls eternal or everlasting life. And it is only through his death, his burial, and his resurrection that we're able to have this life. You see, you and I are dead in sins. There's a payment that must be made for our sins, but we cannot pay for it. Can a dead person give life to themselves? It's another rhetorical question, right? Doesn't even have to be answered. You're like, duh. A dead person cannot give life to themselves. And yet there are many people thinking somehow by what we do, we can get eternal life by what we do. No, God says it's only through him. But when we receive Christ and he gives us life, he says this life is forever. This life never, we'll never die. It's eternal. It never ends. And so Jesus Christ, he had to come. That's why he came to this earth. He took our sin. The Bible says that he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, never done anything wrong, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ took all of my sin. He took all of your sin. He took all of the sin of the person next to you and the person behind you and the person in front of you and every person in this room, every person in this city, every person in this state, every person in this in the United States, every person in this world, every person that has ever lived. He took all of those sins upon himself. He became sin. Why? Because we couldn't pay for our sin. There's nothing we can do to pay for our sin. If we can somehow pay for it, why does he need to come and become sin? There's no reason. But Jesus became sin. And he went to that cross. And he was willing to give his life. And he died for our sin. So that you and I don't have to die for our sin. We don't have to try to pay for our sin. Because if we do, if we're going to try to pay for our sin, we're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. There's only two choices. It's either life through Jesus Christ or death for eternity. And see, again, the word death doesn't mean a ceasing to exist. We think, oh, that's not a big deal. I'll just live how I want to live, and when I die, everything's done. No, it's not done. It's not done, friend. Because when you die, you'll be in one of two places. You'll either be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to be a place called hell. The Bible speaks of it as a place of torment, of fire, where the worm dieth not, a place that goes on and on and on and on and on for eternity. You see, Jesus doesn't want you to go there. That's why he came and died. That's why he was buried. That's why he rose again. To be able to pay for your sin and my sin, to be able to say, look, your sin is paid for. If you'll accept me, it is forgiven. He'll wipe it away. It's not there anymore. But it's only through him. It's only through Jesus Christ. And that's why he says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when we come to Jesus Christ by faith, believing not just that he's a person, but believing that he is the resurrection and the life, and he is the only one who can give me life, then he says, not only will I give you life, but that life is eternal life. And you will never die. Will never die. Again, look what he says. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Why? Because the very moment that we take that last breath, and we can't even imagine how fast this is. Sometimes we get this idea that when a person dies, you know, then it takes some time or whatever for them to get to heaven and, you know, whatever. No. It's instantaneous. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, just like that. There's no ceasing to exist. With the very moment that we take that last breath, we are immediately in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't die. We don't spiritually die and are separated from God again. No. Because we have put our faith in Christ, we are immediately with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says you'll never die. We'll never die. We'll never be separated from him. And this is what Jesus is asking Martha. Believest thou this? Martha, do you really believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Or do you just believe I'm a good person? Do you really believe that I'm the resurrection and the life? Or do you just believe I'm here to kind of give you some physical things? Answer your physical problems, you know, help you find a job, you know, make you be healthy when you're sick. Is that why we believe in Jesus? Or do we truly believe that he is the resurrection and the life? and that there is no other way. There's no other way than through him. You know, what's very sad is that there are many people that think that, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. I know he was a real person. I believe he was here on the earth for a while, but they never believe that, put their faith that he is the resurrection and the life. Just as Jesus has the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus has power to give you life. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're dead in your trespasses. You're dead in sin. You're dead in your disobedience to God. You're separated from him. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And just as Jesus is able to raise Lazarus from the dead, just as Jesus is able to raise himself from the dead after 3 days, Jesus says, I can give you life. But here's the thing. No one's going to force you to do it. No one's going to force you to do it. In a few minutes, we're going to have a little egg hunt out there for the kids. Do you really think that anybody is going to have to force those kids to get those eggs? I don't think so. They're going to be given those instructions. These are the eggs. You can pick up these eggs. There's not going to be any parent saying, go get them. Unless you just want more chocolate. No, man, as soon as they say go, those kids are going to be, they're gone. They're picking up those eggs. Why? Because they believe though those eggs are out there for them to pick up. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I offer you life. For those that are dead, he says, I offer life. And not just any life, but life that never ends. But he's not going to force you to take it. It's a gift. And you have to truly believe that that gift is for you and receive it as your own. And when you do, he says, you will have life. Because he is the giver of life. And he offers it freely. The question is will you receive it? Or will you say, you know what? No, I think I'm going to still try to get life for my own dead body. I think by going to church, that's going to give me life. I think by getting baptized, that's going to give me life. I think by being a good person, or, you know, one day maybe I'll do this. Friend, can I tell you something? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Oh, we'd love to think about how many years we have left and things, but the thing is, we're not guaranteed those years. Just a couple weeks ago, a 20-year-old girl was killed in a car wreck, just like that. I guarantee you, she thought she had all the years in front of her. We think, oh, I've got all the time in the world. A dead person doesn't really have much time. But Jesus offers life. Are you willing to take that life that he offers? It's through Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Friend, I don't know your spiritual condition this morning. Only you do. You know whether you are spiritually dead or not. You know if there's been a time when you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know whether you're still trusting in a church, in religion, in a baptism. Friend, those things cannot save you. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Friend, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? It's not just something we should think about once a year when we celebrate Easter. Oh, Jesus died, was buried, rose again. No. He is the resurrection and the life. It's not an event, it's not a time, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. And he offers that life to anyone who will receive it. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever received that life. I am not really sure. I hope that I would go to heaven when I die, but I am not sure if I've ever received that life. Friend, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'm not sure where I would go. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Pastor, pray for me. Not going to call you out. Not going to come to you. Just, Pastor, pray for me. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Someone else. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I'm not sure. But I would like to know how to receive that life. Is there someone else this morning? Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. And Christian, what about you? You say, I know I'm saved. And are we living the life that he wants for us to live? If we know that he has given us life, wouldn't it be good for us to tell others that they can have life through Christ? There's a purpose for the resurrection. That's for others to know Jesus as well. And we can tell them. Father, I pray that you'd bless in the invitation. Lord, even those that raised their hand this morning, they're not sure. Lord, I pray that when the invitation is given and they'd like for someone to show them from the Word of God how they can have that life, that they would come. Lord, today would be that day of salvation for them. Lord, for Christians, may we be that light of Christ. Lord, we tell others that Jesus has given us life, that they may have life as well. Lord, would you bless? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll stand to our feet this morning. We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano is going to play softly. The purpose of this is to really think about what the message was. And if you raised your hand this morning, you said, Pastor, I'm not really sure if I have that life. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can have that life. If you're a man, well, we'd have a man talk with you. If you're a lady, a lady. But if you want to know that, everybody's head is bowed, everybody's eyes closed. But if you truly want to know that, would you just slip out from where you are right now? Just come right down the aisle, just to me. I'll meet you right here. And I'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can have that life through Jesus Christ. Would you like that? Just slip out right from where you are right now. Just come. I'll meet you. I'll have someone take you and you can talk with them. I'll help you know how you can have that life through Christ.